welcome back aboard our local hour here on KSBT in Sandpoint, KBFI Bonners Ferry, also online at NorthIdahoRadio.com. In fact, you can listen to these shows anytime. You can go back in the archives and listen to shows from months ago. So check it out at NorthIdahoRadio.com. We're checking out North Idaho Thursday here today, obviously. I'm your host, Bob Witte. I want to thank Dig Christmer from Schweitzer for being our guest yesterday. She did a great job telling us all about the latest from the mountain and everything that's going on up there. They were just getting dumped on yesterday, and I hear it's sunny up there right now, and just great times at Schweitzer. But quick reminder, don't just jump in your Subaru and drive up there expecting to buy a lift ticket. You need to buy it in advance online. Just want to make that perfectly clear. We've got another good show for you today. First up, we'll have our weekly Bonner General Health segment. Dr. Morgan Morton will be our guest today. She's an OBGYN with Sandpoint Women's Health. And I'm told that January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, so we'll learn all about that and ask her all about it, and we appreciate that. And then in our second segment, we'll be back with welcoming in our friend Phil Huff from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, and he'll be bringing along Kelsey Maxwell, who has recently joined the team. They have some fun winter hiking ideas, and they're holding their annual Wild and Scenic Film Festival later this month, virtually, of course, as we all get more and more used to doing just about everything virtually. We'll learn how that's going to work and how you can enjoy that annual film festival. What else is going on? Let's see. We'll learn all about the winter hikes from Phil and Kelsey here in a few moments. 22nd of this month, there is a Toyota Free Ski Friday, so you want to mark your calendars for that. That is January 22nd up at Schweitzer. The 25th, there's a Winter Trails Day at Schweitzer. Enjoy complimentary access to the mountains, Nordic trails, plus cross-country and skate ski lessons and equipment rentals. So mark your calendar for the 22nd and the 25th. And for anything going on at Schweitzer, you can go to schweitzer.com. Also, as you heard yesterday, the Banff Mountain Film Festival, the virtual edition, is going on all month long. The primary intent is to keep patrons safe. This year's films, which are new and current for 2021, are offered online this year. There are two individual programs available, 8 to 9 films each. Films are only available through an internet connection. They can't be downloaded. You could give them as a gift or whatever, and check it out at, well, either just Google Banff Mountain Film Festival and it'll show you all about it, or you can go to mountainfever.us. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got Dr. Morgan Morton with us from Bonner General Health, and we'll be talking to her in just a moment.
Hi, Jim here for the Pondere Winery. We're kicking off the new year by offering our ever-popular and newly released 2019 Merlot as January's Wine of the Month. In other exciting news, backed by popular demand, we'll also be releasing the new rendition of our Huckleberry Blush. Come kick back with a loved one, a handmade pizza, and a bottle of your favorite wine in the friendly confines of our tasting room located at 301 Cedar in downtown Sandpoint. Our Facebook page and website are updated with all upcoming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday musicians. Here's to a happy and healthy new year from all of us at the Pondere Winery.
Hi there, it's Les Schwab Tires. Well, more like Les Schwab Alignment and Brakes and Shocks and Wheels and Tires. Now, some tire places don't offer all that. They only sell tires. And we're not sure how they sleep at night, because all those services affect things like steering and stopping. That's why we offer more than tires to help keep you safe. Stop by or book an appointment at LesSchwab.com. Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor & Son Chevrolet, serving the greater Sandpoint area. I wanted to take the time to identify some of the practices that make Taylor & Sons unique when considering our business for your automotive sales or repair needs. Taylor & Sons is constantly fine-tuning our operation to provide expediency and professional service in both our sales and repair facility. These conveniences are evidenced by tools such as accurate online listings of in-stock vehicles, remote appraisal of potential trade-ins, and defined processes to limit the time you must spend in the dealership. Our service department department is stacked with some of the best local talent in automotive repair and management, and all of the work is performed in the cleanest modern repair facility available in the area. Finally, in the latter part of 2020, Taylor & Sons has introduced our Taylor & Sons Powertrain Advantage. Every new Chevrolet and late model pre-owned vehicle now comes with the security of a 10-year or 150,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Exclusions apply, but talk with any of our sales staff for all the details. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
All right, we are back, North Idaho, Thursday, and our every Thursday we kick off the show with a guest from Bonner General Health, and this week we have Dr. Morgan Morton with us from Sandpoint Women's Health. It is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, so that's what we'll mainly be talking about today. Dr. Morton, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Bob.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I was just curious, you know, in your department, how all of the pandemic and everything going on at the hospital has affected your department. Is there changes for you guys?
Yeah, so, I mean, the hospital in general has been quite a bit busier. So, you know, as far as bed availability and availability of nursing staff, that has been a little bit tight recently. From a labor and delivery standpoint, things are pretty much going along, you know, business as usual. We have had some patients, you know, that have been affected by that. But overall, things have been actually pretty smooth on labor and delivery.
So I don't know if you know, but through the hospital in general, is everybody that has chosen to be vaccinated been able to get vaccinated already?
I am not sure. I think we're pretty close to having all of the people that want to be vaccinated get vaccinated. And I think probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we should be there. But we've been pretty fortunate with our supply of vaccinations.
Yeah, that's great because, of course, that's the hot topic all around the country as far as the pandemic is concerned. Yeah. I did get some stats from your marketing specialist, Kristen Carlson, today. Yeah. BGH has tested 376 people in the last 7 days with 43 positives. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a positive compared to the way the numbers were going in past weeks. District-wide, there's currently 601 active COVID cases, the capacity at the hospital. Five total beds are available, two for COVID patients and two in the ICU and one in medical surgery. And they have seven COVID inpatients at this time. So hopefully things leveling out and with the vaccines becoming more available and the rollout continuing that we get this thing under control in the coming months. So it's Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. What exactly does that mean, Dr. Morton?
Yeah, I think it's just a time when we can kind of bring some of the recommendations and sort of education to the public, kind of letting them know, you know, what is cervical cancer, you know, what are the risks for that, how can we prevent it, and so just kind of giving us the time to bring some of those things to the forefront.
Well, you raised the question, what is cervical cancer?
Yeah, so cervical cancer, the cervix is the opening of the uterus. And it cervical cancer can develop in that specific spot. It's almost always due to a specific infection with the human papillomavirus. And over time, that infection can cause cancer to develop in the cervix.
Hmm. So do you have some stats on this particular type of cancer?
Yeah, so cervical cancer in the United States is the fourth most common cancer in women.
Okay.
In the United States, there are approximately like 14,000 new cases diagnosed each year and about 4,300 deaths in the United States are attributed to cervical cancer each year.
Now, is that something, is it been getting worse over the years, or is it something that just kind of holds steady? That's just the way it is?
It's been pretty steady recently. You know, as, you know, over the last 2 to 3 decades, as cervical cancer screening programs have become available and have become, you know, widely used, there was definitely a sharp decrease in the United States and other developed countries where they have really strong screening programs. You know, in other parts of the world where these screening programs aren't as readily available, it continues to be actually a really big issue. In the United States, though, we're fortunate to be able to have these screening programs in place.
So how does somebody know or suspect that they might have it?
Yeah, so, I mean, the problem with cervical cancer specifically is some of those precancer changes that develop don't have any symptoms. So that's why we really rely on routine screening for asymptomatic or patients that don't have any symptoms. And so cervical cancer almost always develops in a really predictable fashion. And so we know by screening patients routinely, we can catch those people that have those precancer changes and can watch them closely and treat them accordingly.
And so is this something that people are tested for when they just go for their regular, you know, like yearly or twice a year checkup?
Yeah, so the recommendation for cervical cancer screening is to start screening women at the age of 21.
Okay.
And depending on a few different things, whatever their previous testing result was, you know, what are their risk factors, some women will continue to have yearly screening tests. For some women, especially if they're low risk, you know, if they haven't had any previously abnormal results, some of those women can space out the screening. So they can go a little bit less often, like every 3 to 5 years.
So cervical cancer is called the silent killer. Why? What is that all about?
Yeah, I think that's mostly because these precancer changes don't often have any symptoms. You know, women sometimes are really surprised when they find out that they have, you know, precancer changes or an early cervical cancer. So I think it's because, you know, it can be so asymptomatic.
So is it preventable?
Yeah, it is preventable. Like I mentioned, over 99.7, I think is the statistic, percent of cervical cancers are related specifically to the human papillomavirus, which is a sexually transmitted infection. Mm. It's very common, you know, up to 80% of sexually active adults will have encountered at least one strain of HPV in their lifetime. So it's a very common virus. The good thing about HPV is that now we have a vaccination. So over the last decade or so, HPV vaccination has become more common and is the kind of recommended standard of care. And so using a vaccine to prevent a virus can then, in fact, prevent cervical cancer, which is pretty amazing.
So is that something you suggest all women get done?
Yeah, so the recommendation actually is for both women and men.
Okay.
They recommend that the vaccine that's available in the United States is called Gardasil. It's FDA approved for men and women ages 9 to 45. And the American Academy of Pediatrics and the CDC recommend really targeting vaccination in both boys and girls ages 11 to 12 to really prevent HPV and try to get them vaccinated before they, you know, would have ever been exposed to the virus. So, it's recommended for both boys and girls.
Interesting. So yeah. If you don't get the vaccine and you do get diagnosed with cervical cancer, what happens? What's the treatment and what are the odds of getting through it?
Yeah, so the treatment options for cervical cancer depend on sort of what your stage is at the time of of diagnosis. For patients that have a really early cervical cancer, they may be able to be treated just with surgery, which would be a hysterectomy. They may or may not need additional treatment with chemotherapy or radiation. And then patients with advanced cervical cancer at the time of diagnosis would likely be treated with chemotherapy and radiation.
Wow.
So
it's a Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. What does that mean to the general public? Or is there information out there on your website? Or are you having events? Or what does it mean?
I don't know if we're having any specific events. And there may be some information on our website. But other websites that are have a lot of really good information about these things are the general CDC website, cdc.gov.
Okay.
They have lots of good information about cervical cancer and screening. And so I think that would probably be a good resource for people to look at. But I think it's a time for people, women in general, to just kind of think back. When is the last time I had an exam? When is the last time I had a pap smear? Am I due for one? You know, do I need to call and make an appointment to get in? And just to kind of remind people that they need to kind of be proactive about their health.
So is this something, you know, you are at Sandpoint Women's Health. Mm-hmm. If a person wants to know more, should they contact you and make an appointment? Should they start with their personal physician? Or
either way,
what do you suggest?
Yeah, so, you know, as OBGYNs, we deal specifically with female reproductive health. So I think we do have a lot of really good information and are always happy to talk with patients about that. But the primary care providers in our town are also excellent. They do a lot of cervical cancer screening and, you know, are always a good resource or a good starting point if somebody already has a relationship with another primary care provider.
So do you guys have your own phone line? Is there a number that we should pass along to people?
Yeah. So here at Sandpoint Women's Health, our phone number is 208-263-2173.
Mm-hmm.
They can call there to make an appointment, or they can get to our clinic website. You go to bonnergeneral.org and go through the services and clinics tab, and then go specifically to Sandpoint Women's Health.
And again, their direct line for Sandpoint Women's Health, 208-263-2173. And as always, any questions about any of this or the pandemic or the vaccines or what have you, can always go to bonnergeneral.org anytime. Dr. Morgan Morton, thanks for joining us. I know you're super busy. We'll let you get back to work, and I appreciate what you and everybody associated with Bonner General Health has done for the community through all of this, and keep up the good work.
Good. Well, thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be with you.
All right. Take care. We are going to take our second break. When we come back, we have Phil Huff and Kelsey Maxwell with us from Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness, and we'll be talking about events they have going on, hikes you can do during the winter through all of this snow in the mountains, and also talking about their wild and scenic film festival coming up at the end of this month, so stick around.
Super One Foods in Sandpoint is now hiring in all departments. Great jobs starting at $12 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net. Super One Foods continues to go to great lengths to keep their customers safe with constant cleaning and other safety measures. For your convenience, try their shop online service. Just place your order online and set the time for pickup. Your personal shopper will have your groceries ready for you and bring them out to your car. It's that simple. Go to superonefoods.net and shop online today.
Are you looking for a contractor for home projects like remodels or renovations? Or someone to do some handyman work to clear some tasks from your honey-do list? Call Real Estate Rescue today to get a bid for your upcoming project. We're available 7 days a week, and we can get started right away. Visit our website at realestaterescue208.com or call us now at 208-265-9051. That's Real Estate Rescue in Sandpoint, 208-265-9051.
Hi, this is Shane from North Island Collision in Bonners Ferry, here to talk to you today about aftermarket parts. Did you know that around 85% of all insurance estimates are written to include aftermarket parts on your car? Many of these parts are made in China. Not only do they fit poorly and offer minimal corrosion protection, but they can also void your warranty. Here at North Auto Collision, not only do we think this is wrong, but we're doing something about it. That's why we're proud to introduce our new comp program. Here's how it works. If your insurance company is only willing to pay for aftermarket parts, our comp program will cover the cost to use original manufacturer parts. If you drive a Ford, we're going to use Ford parts. If it's a Toyota, Toyota parts. You get the picture. So combined with the great quality and customer service you're already accustomed to at North Idaho Collision, our comp program is just another way we're looking out for you, this time in an unprecedented way. Some exclusions may apply, but not many. Remember, it's always your choice where you get your vehicle repaired. So tell your insurance company, I'm going to North Idaho Collision in Bonners Ferry. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to serving you.
Being a teenager is tough. There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Idaho's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their heads?
We play!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Idaho High School Activities Association and the Idaho Athletic Administrators Association.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
All right, we are back, North Idaho, Thursday here on KBFI, Bonners Ferry, KSBT Sandpoint. Also, pick us up anytime, anywhere you are at NorthIdahoRadio.com. And from Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, we have Phil Huff is back with us, and Kelsey Maxwell is with us as also. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
And you are the Communication and Outreach Coordinator for Scotchman Peaks, and how long have you been there, and what exactly do you do?
Yeah, so this is my seventh week working for Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, and I do a little bit of everything, as people tend to do a lot working for small nonprofits. So manage our communications, social media, newsletter, emails, as well as our outreach. So all of our events, like the upcoming Wild and Scenic Film Festival, and all of the winter hikes we have going on.
So how many like employees or people do you have in the organization?
Just a few. So Phil and I are the only full-time staff, and we have a bunch, three wonderful part-time employees that help us with outreach, with our winter tracks, environmental education programming, and as well as communications.
So through all of this pandemic, something I've been asking everybody is that how has it affected you guys and your organization? Are you still able to meet? Are you doing just Zoom things, or how are you doing?
Sure. I'll take that one, Bob. And first of all, thanks for having us back. It's always great to be on your show. And,
thank you.
In addition to our staff of two full-time and three part-time people, we have in any given year about 200 volunteers.
Okay.
And really, the work we do couldn't get done without the volunteer efforts of so, so, so many people. And so I always want to lead with a great thank you to everyone who steps up and contributes from any way and form. And this year has been a different year for everyone, for us included. But we've still managed to do a combination of online and in-person things. And we have volunteers that go out and do trail maintenance. That's what people typically think of with volunteers. And we had a pretty robust trail maintenance season this last summer. You can do that socially, distancing, safe outside. Great exercise. People can easily be, in fact, with tools, you need to be about 12 feet apart. So it worked well, as long as you don't carpool and don't share tools and don't share water bottles. So we had a good, safe, COVID safe.
So did you find then this last summer, did you have more volunteers than normal? Because I know places like the Elks Golf Course had their most successful year ever just because it's something you could safely do outside. Schweitzer is just kicking it right now. They're selling out, constantly. How about you guys?
We had a different set of volunteers. We had some volunteers who were reluctant to come out, and so they didn't this summer, or COVID threw their world into another spin. They they needed to focus prioritizing their time on other things, child care, home health care for elders. But we had new volunteers who had never come out before and wanted to get out and do something. And so what we saw was a shift in terms of absolute numbers. If we were able to get out the whole season, it would probably have been about the same. But we did delay the start of the season about 6 weeks to put together precaution and safety programs and recruitment.
Well, back then, no one knew what exactly was going on, you know, so you had to take those 6 weeks.
Yeah, the interesting thing we found, we also have our trail ambassador program. We put folks out on Scotchman Peak Trail to talk to hikers about, no, really, you need to leave the goats alone. They're wild animals. And we had, again, a successful season, covered about the same number of days, had over 35 volunteers. And we spoke to over 1,700 hikers. Trail use about doubled this summer from last year.
There's a lot of new people in Bonner and Boundary County in this last 8 or 10 months that have moved here, more than any other year that I can remember. Is that increasing your numbers too? Are people moving to town and calling you up to find out how they can help or what you're all about?
We've always seen a real steady sign up of individuals as friends, we call them. It's not a membership. There's no dues.
Okay.
You go to our website. You can click the subscribe button and become a friend. You can receive our 3 times a year newsletter or our every other week insider email. And we saw about the same pace of people signing up as friends. One of the interesting things, we just finished our end of year fundraising. Like most nonprofits, we really rely on individuals to contribute. And we had, I don't have the exact numbers at hand, but it was over 75 unique donors, of which about a third were first-time donors. We had a really pleasing amount of first-time donations this December, and that tracks true through the rest of the year, too. We've really had a lot of people step up for the first time. Some of those are newcomers to town. They want to get engaged. Some of those are people who are, I think, discovering the need to support organizations like ours that help with access outside. And some of those have been longtime friends who, again, are appreciating the dire straits that every nonprofit's gone through.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not an organization where you have to be a member and you're charged the same amount every year and you have to donate, but you don't have to donate anything.
No, you don't have to. In fact, we try to structure almost all of our programs at no cost or low cost. Now, there's a few exceptions, and Kelsey's going to talk about the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, which we will use to raise money. But our programs, to come out on a trail maintenance program, to come out on one of our hikes, to go to most of our events where we have content, whether it's in person or online, we don't charge anything. We want it to be accessible to the public.
Before we get to the film festival, Phil, I was just thinking, because there are so many new people, and I know our listenership here on KSPT KBFI has increased dramatically, anybody new to town is not even sure what Scotchman Peak Wilderness is or where it is. Why don't you give us the overview?
Yeah, I'll give you the two-minute elevator speech on that. The Scotchman Peaks lie just north and east of Lake Pend'Oreille, about a third in Idaho and about two-thirds in Montana. And then, so in addition to the two states, we covered parts of two national forests, the Idaho Panhandle and the Kootenai National Forest, 3 counties, Bonner County, Sanders, and Lincoln, and just to make it all more confusing, 2 time zones, which sounds like it would be a tremendously huge area. It's about 88,000 acres.
Okay.
The center core, two-thirds, 66,000 acres have been proposed as wilderness by the Forest Service since the 1970s, but it literally takes an act of Congress to designate wilderness into the Wilderness Preservation System. And so we've been advocating for the act of Congress that would include the Scotchman Peaks as wilderness. It would essentially make permanent the regulatory decision that the agency has made temporarily since the 1970s.
So how do you get there?
You get there by persuading Congress to act, which at the surface can sound like, well, that shouldn't be that hard, right? Anyone who's following Congress the last few years would point to the lack of ability to pass legislation as a sign of dysfunctionality. Without getting too wonky, about 4% of all bills introduced into Congress come out as laws. That number, that's held true for over 200 years. This isn't a current phenomena. It's hard to get a law passed. The framers of our Constitution made it hard to get a law passed. We had just come out of a Revolutionary War with England, and we didn't want a lot of new laws. So they purposely structured it so it would be difficult to pass a new law. So that sets a pretty high standard. In order to get something passed through Congress, you have to have a senator and a congressman from your state, in the case of lands, who are going to champion the bill. they're going to do that when they think their constituents want them to do that. So there's a lot of room, not only for opposition to things, but just plain lethargy. Unless they think it's an important issue, they're only going to work on those issues they think are important to their constituents. So our role in all of this is to take the agency recommendation, develop this broad base of support locally that is a voice that gets Congress to say, hey, this is an important issue to my constituents, and to do that in two states.
Yeah.
So it takes time. We've grown our friends' base, those supporters who sign up that can contribute volunteer time or money or come to events, now number just over 9,000, of which about 7,500 live within a 2.5-hour drive of the Scotchman's.
I'm looking at this thing here, and you have 3,900 Facebook followers, 3,700 email subscribers. It's pretty big numbers.
Yep, and we snail mail out about another 1,500 emails, or newsletters, rather.
Yeah.
So we reach a lot of people. I figure with every big communication we send out, we have likely about 10,000 touch points.
Interesting stuff. Wild and Scenic Film Festival, you mentioned being a small nonprofit. Is this your major fundraiser?
Yeah, so the Wild and Scenic Film Festival is one of our biggest fundraisers for the year. This year we're celebrating our 16th anniversary with this film festival, and we are going to be showing 9 really awe-inspiring films all about getting out into nature and discovering and exploring wild places in the western United States mostly. And in addition to showing these films, we're also going to be having a raffle where we're going to be giving away a bunch of really wonderful outdoor gear that's been generously donated to us by our national sponsors, as well as Six Moon Designs is donating a backpacking backpack. And yeah, we'll also be having a Q&A session after the Wild and Scenic Film Festival with some local filmmakers and artists, including Eric Darstad, David Renke, and Joe Foster.
Well, that's great. So you normally have the film festival at the Panda.
Last year we held it at the Heartwood Center.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes we've done events at the Panada. Last year was the first year we actually did this particular film festival, and Heartwood Center's space was just perfect to be able to do a silent auction in conjunction with it. That bigger lobby really helped out.
It really, yeah, that's a very good point. And the question and answer and all of that afterwards. So, Kelsey, where do these films come from? Where do you find them?
Yeah, so this film festival is a partnership with national organization entity that finds all of these films that come mostly from small-scale filmmakers, and they're all short films between like 3 minutes and 20 minutes. And they're artists that submit their films into this film festival, and then they get accepted. And then from there, we whittled down the options and chose just the films that we thought would really resonate with the people in the Inland Northwest in the Panhandle, Idaho, Montana area. And so, yeah, like I said, we're going to be showing 9 films. It's going to be a virtual event this year, which we're excited about for the opportunity to be able to just reach people that couldn't actually come to the Sandpoint area, like they did last year.
So this collection of 9 films, which I assume you and Phil have all seen because you had to select them.
Yep.
Is this an event that you can only see these 9 films together? This is it? There's nothing else going on? I mean, this isn't something that goes from town to town or anything like that?
Yeah, so the event is going to be live on January 30th, starting at 6:30 p.m. And this is a one-time thing. Although if you can't make the event from 6:30 to 9:30, anyone who purchases a ticket can watch a recording of the virtual event for 24 hours.
Gotcha.
But yes, this particular curation by Friends of Scotchman Peak, that day is going to be the only time you'll be able to see them.
So the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, much like some of the other well-known film festivals, has a large collection. I think every year they have about 200 films. And so the host organization can go through them by category, look at the ones they think they want, preview them, and then select the 9 or 10 to show. So there are Wild and Scenic Film Festivals that have been going on and will go on in other communities sponsored by other organizations, and they may or may not have the same films. Their lens of what they think will resonate with their supporters might be different than ours. And just for clarity, I'm kept in the dark on things like this. Our fundraising committee and Kelsey and Britta have previewed them, and I like to be surprised. So,
yeah. And some of the films that you might reject other places, other locations, just geographically different, they might think, oh, this is us. We work more deserty or whatever. So
exactly.
I totally understand. So, Kelsey, how does it work then? It's virtual. Where do you go to buy a ticket, and how do you turn it on? And I mean, for a lot of people, this is a whole new world of technology.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're trying to make it as easy as possible. So to buy a ticket, you can go to scotchmanpeaks.org/events. And you purchase one ticket per like screen or household that's going to be watching on that night live. So one ticket for a whole household is only $15, which, you know, we're trying to make it really accessible to everyone. I think it's a steal. And from our website, you can also buy tickets to the raffle and make a donation for supporting our organization. And then on the day of the event, we'll send you a link that brings you to just an online portal. And so from your computer or from your TV screen, you can watch the event live.
So how does the raffle, how is that going to work then?
So people are going to purchase raffle tickets, and then we will announce the raffle winner after the event.
Oh, so it's not like a silent auction or something.
Yeah.
There's also a couple really exciting packages that I think, Bob, you might be interested in. So Kelsey will tell a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're excited to be partnering with Utara Brewing Company this year for meal, beer, and ticket bundles.
What has Phil told you about me?
I'm assuming you're a big fan of Utara, like many other people living in Sandpoint.
Just a fan of beer, yeah, craft beer.
Yeah, absolutely. So we want to create a really exciting, like special weekend night in experience.
Gotcha.
With this film festival. So partnering with Utara Brewing to offer meal and ticket packages. So in addition to buying your ticket, you can also buy a meal package that includes their classic non-pizza as well as a film festival night special. They're going to be offering their curry pot pies. And of course, you can also buy however much beer, craft beer you want to go with that meal.
Great beer too, by the
way.
And I love the non-pizza. I've had that several times. Yeah, so that's interesting stuff. Again, the website is schweitzerpeaks.org, as they say on KRFY. Here I always said org until I started hanging out with Ricky, and she corrected me.
Scotchman Peaks, you've been skiing too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can go to the website and learn more about that. I also wanted to talk about, you have some hikes coming up. We had Dig Grismer from Schweitzer on the show yesterday, and we're talking about all the different things you could do at Schweitzer, and they were getting dumped on, by the way, when we were talking to her yesterday. Pretty exciting. But you have some guided snowshoe hikes?
Yeah, we do. Every year we have a guided hike season, summer and winter.
Okay.
And increasingly in the last few years, our winter season's been as popular or more popular than summer. I think there's so few other offerings for people to get out into the winter in a way that if they're new, they can be supported with other people who can help show them where to go and how to walk on snowshoes if that's their first time. So we've got a series of, I think, currently 11 and a couple more we might add, hikes on our schedule. The first two are this weekend. In fact, the first one kicks off tomorrow, and I think it's full. We'll be sending some folks up Star Peak, which is an easy winter access right off Highway 200 and a wonderful hike. You can go all the way to the top. If the conditions aren't there, we can go partway up and get some great views from the cliff bands about a mile and a half in. Then on Sunday, I lead what has become a traditional 1st of January hike up Regal Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost full, although I do still have a couple spots left. So folks can go to our website, go to our hikes page and sign up there. Then through the course of the rest of the winter, we hit some real highlights. We go into Ross Creek Cedars a couple more times. We go up Star Peak a couple more times. We have a couple stewardship walks, a really special one at Round Lake led by the assistant park manager there who will look at winter stewardship. It's not an exact replacement for our youth winter tracks, but it does provide a hands-on component for winter outdoor ed, and we're really excited to add that one to the schedule.
So to go on one of these horseshoe hikes, I mean, how long is it? What kind of time commitment? And more importantly, what kind of shape do you need to be in? I know you guys hike all the time. Like my daughter Ricky on the show yesterday was talking about, you know, she's been kind of getting into snowshoeing, but her feet naturally go out, so she has to bend them in, and it's, you're not exactly in bend-in shape unless you've been practicing. So what does it take to get in shape to do some of these hikes?
Yeah, so a couple great questions there. So first of all, every hike's a little different. The best thing to do is to go to the description on the hike page.
Okay.
And there'll be a rating, easy, moderate, strenuous, and some basic description of elevation gain, loss, distance. Hiking on snowshoes is a bit more difficult than walking. In fact, in terms of burning calories, I think it's right up there with rowing at about 800 an hour. So
I would imagine there's
plan to carb up the night before.
Yeah.
And bring lunch and water. But really, anyone who can walk can snowshoe. And we do have hike leaders who keep the group together and go at the pace of the slowest person. Almost all of them are out and back, so we can adjust also the length as needed. There's a couple exceptions, and they'll be the ones listed as strenuous. For the most part, though, the hikes are moderate or higher. We have, I think, this winter one or two that would be in the easy category.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, in the area, it lends itself more to moderate because of length. Going into the Ross Creek Cedars isn't particularly technically challenging, but the last 3 miles of the road is closed, so you have to add a 6 mile round trip just to get to the Cedars. So it's a long day, not a hard one per se, but long.
So just snowshoeing in general, you think if someone who's never done it, should they try like renting them at Outdoor Experience or someplace like that, several places around town that rent snowshoes, and try it out first?
That's the best way. And it used to be some of those places, I don't want to state for sure right now, would have a, you rent it, and then if you buy it, they'll credit you some of the rental. And so that's worth asking for at least. But yep, absolutely. First time, rent snowshoes. If you're really, really tentative about it, we do have a few loaner pairs. So if you indicate that when you sign up, we can usually set you up with a loaner pair.
Do you discourage first-time snowshoers to go on any of your hikes?
No, we actually encourage it. It's a great way to get out and meet some people, learn something about the area, learn a new skill set. All of our hike leaders are able to give the fundamental basics of snowshoeing, which aren't that hard.
Yeah. Interesting. Got to get into that. So if somebody were to go rent snowshoes right now, and where would you suggest they go to try it out?
Well, here really locally inside of Sandpoint, the Pine Street Woods is a great place. I really like Round Lake. It's depending on conditions. Right now, snow's a little thin, but once you get good snow there, that's a great local place to snowshoe.
That's great. And Kelsey, before we get out of here, the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, it is coming up January the 30th, 6:30 to 9:30. You buy your $15 ticket. Everybody in your household or whoever you have over can watch it that evening. You don't have to watch it at 6:30. You have 24 hours to do so. I was looking at your sponsorship page at your website. Do you still need sponsors? And how does that work? We have a couple minutes.
Yeah, so we're always looking for more sponsors, but we're also very grateful for the sponsors that have supported us so far. I will note that KPND is a sponsor, so thank you so much, as well as Williams & Schiller, CPA and Consultants, Idaho Forest Group, The Reader, All Seasons Garden and Floral, KRFY, Finn & McDonald, Evergreen Realty, Syringa Cyclery, Keoki, and Trout Unlimited. And Mark William Cronin, chiropractic.
So the sponsors, they get mentioned during the film festival or beforehand or something?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So when you go on our website to sign up for to get tickets, you'll see all of our sponsors, and they will also be mentioned during the
night. So you can go to the Friend of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness website and find out more about the sponsorship levels and how you can just donate and learn about the hikes and things of that nature. And again, Phil, the hikes, they can sell out though, right?
We do put a limit, a self-imposed limit on the hikes, in part to honor the wilderness solitude of the area and also to make it a manageable thing. And so they will sell out usually. Sometimes there's vacancies. If folks go on and they're sold out, they can get put on a wait list.
Oh, gotcha. And you may be adding more events as the winter goes on. Is that dependent on the weather? You just keep an eye on it?
It's dependent on the weather, and it's also hard to get some of those late winter season, March, April. It really depends on conditions and also volunteers and before January 1st, to get volunteers to be thinking about April is a real challenge. So we fill a few of those in as we go along. And I should note, selling out is kind of an anachronistic thing because they are free.
Yeah. So that's great. Phil Huff, Kelsey Maxwell, thanks for joining us today. It's always great to have you guys on the program. We'll do it again probably come spring.
Excellent.
Thank you for having us.
Bob. Take care. We need to squeeze in our last break and then we'll wrap it up for this week. So stick around.
Hey there, Don Thomas of Selkirk Glass and Cabins. Would you look at that calendar? Furnaces and fireplaces are roaring to life. Now this is where Selkirk Glass and Cabinets can help. If drafty windows and doors are the problem, give us a call to learn about lots of remedies. We can retrofit your existing window openings with new energy-efficient vinyl, fiberglass, or wood windows. If you take your screens out in the winter, it's a great time to bring them into Selkirk Glass and Cabinets for rescreening or repair. And beat that summer rush. Maybe your thermopane window glass has lost its seal and you've got condensation obscuring your view and making windowsill damage. We can easily replace that glass. Have you got a wood-burning fireplace with cracked or missing glass? Selkirk Glass and Cabinets is your only source in the area to stock the NeoCeram fire door glass. Just bring us the fireplace door and we'll install new glass in it, usually on the same day. We have a 4,000 square foot full-service glass shop with a seasoned crew to take care of those needs. That's why Selkirk Glass and Cabinets, that's the place to go.
As a member of the Sandpoint business community since 1963, Lighthouse Foods is a proud supporter of Bulldog Sports. Since the beginning, Lighthouse has been committed to investing in and having a positive impact on its employees and the communities in which it operates. Proud to be 100% employee-owned, Lighthouse has been named Best Workplace and Best Innovative Manufacturer in Bonner County. Interested in starting a new career? Go online to lighthousefoods.com for a list of current job openings.
Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty is locally owned and operated, and now with two locations, on the South Hill in Bonners Ferry and downtown on Main Street, to better serve the community. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home in 2021, think local. Call Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty for a free market analysis today. 208-267-8575. Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty, located in downtown Bonners Ferry and near the stoplight on the South Hill. Coldwell Banker, that's the power of blue.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you recognize a 13-year-old boy who gets into fights at school?
Not because he's a boy, but because he's hungry?
Or a 2-year-old girl who cries all night?
Not because she's sick, but because she went to bed without enough to eat.
Or maybe a 9-year-old boy who hopes a friend invites him to a sleepover?
Not for fun, just so we can have dinner.
Or a 15-year-old girl who goes for walks over lunch,
so her friends won't know she doesn't have anything to eat.
I am the 1 in 7 American children who struggle with hunger. Kids you pass by every day, but never knew were hungry. I am Child Hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
All right, we are back wrapping it up for this week here on North Idaho Thursday. I don't know where I got this. I was online this morning, but I'm a big fan of breakfast, as some of you regular listeners probably know, all the food shows that Ricky and I have done. The headline was the most popular breakfast foods from every decade. That's interesting. So I clicked on it, and the most popular breakfast food in the 1900s was cream of wheat. I thought that was kind of interesting. 1910s, it was hash. You know, hash had to be kind of new at some point, and it was mostly because World War I, the people had to get more inventive about the little bit of food that was available. In the 1920s, bacon became all the rage in the United States. The 1930s, this is one I don't understand. Tomato gravy and biscuits. Now, I understand gravy and biscuits, but I don't know what tomato gravy is. Never even heard of it. The 1940s, something that a lot of people called one-eyed Jack. My mom called them eggs on toast. You know, you'd rip a circle out of a piece of bread and fry the egg in the middle of it. got a guy talking in my other ear here. 1950s, with the invention of Bisquick and Betty Crocker products, pancakes became all the breakfast food rage. 1960s, it was Eggs Benedict. Who could forget that? 1970s, crepes became the thing that Americans craved for breakfast the most. 1980s, quiche. Quiche was a thing. 1990s, chicken and waffles. What a great invention that was in the South. Took a long time to get all around the country. 2000s, thank God for breakfast burritos. I love breakfast burritos. Bacon, eggs, eggs and potatoes and just about anything. Salsa, cheese, you got it. And in the 2010s, avocado toast became a thing. Now, I make it at home. I like it. I'm not paying $10 for a piece of toast with avocado on it. That's just saying. Anyway, that's it for North Idaho Thursday. I'm Bob Witte, and we'll see you later.
K246CU, 1450 KPFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint, a Blue Sky Broadcasting radio station.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. There's tighter security around the U.S.